This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun dun. Dun.
I am your honorable Supreme Crit Justice Murphy, joined by Supreme Crit Justices Tanner and Axford.
I'm back, baby.
She's back. and then, of course, we've got
demoted, then promoted. So it is kind of like premoted. I returned to the motion that I was. Yeah.
Shouldn't really be considered a demotion or a promotion. just a sidestep, just a lateral move.
We have the sidestep honorable bailiff Jake with us as well.
That's right.
I feel like it's been a minute since we've done a dungeon court. I guess just because we're just doing one a month now. It feels like there's less of them.
I thought we had solved it. I thought we had like solved all of D&D, but I guess there's more cases.
Evidently there are. We got many submissions.
Sweet. I can't wait.
Let's go ahead and throw it to bailiff Jake.
Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is now in session.
Wow.
The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding.
Woo! Beautiful.
Thank you. And now shall we kick it off. The first case comes from Nicholas P. May it please the court and whomever it serves. Mm. I present the case of the Arch Devil versus the Goats.
Okay.
In a previous session.
It's always animals.
It's always just people murdering mounts.
Yeah, I basically just scroll through for farm animals. Yeah. That's how I decide. In a previous session, my players went to the Nine Hells where they struck a deal with an archdevil to get immunity to Hellfire in exchange for the archdevil to get their souls if they ever die in the Nine Hells.
Whoa.
Flash forward.
That's so fun.
It's a cool
gamble.
Seems
pretty standard, yeah.
Flash forward to the recent session where a crazed magical devil polymorphed all but one of them into goats. The cleric, the only non-goat member, then cast Firestorm to injure the goat players enough that they revert back to normal.
Whoa.
I ask, does this fall under the realm of death in the Nine Hells, and would they get their souls taken? They technically had taken more damage than their max HP as goats, so the goats theoretically died. I await your swift and righteous judgment.
No, sorry. They're not goats. They're polymorphed.
I think if you're polymorphed, like, I think probably polymorph would be a way to get around a contract, right? Because it's like, you can't do this. But if you polymorph, I think that you're, like, a different creature.
Really? So you think that you would consider that, like, a PC death if somebody was like, I got turned into a goat and then I turned back into a person?
I just said the opposite. I'm saying, like, I feel like if you have a contract and it's like, if you die in here, then it's over. Mm. But I think that the goat doesn't have that, right? But I'm thinking that polymorph.
The goat didn't make the same deal.
I disagree. I think the goat is still part of the deal, but I think it's all the same person. They didn't die.
Right, yeah, they just, like, died. Well, they, like, got knocked out, reverted to human form.
And they're still alive.
Humanoid form.
Yeah.
And then they made death saves, right?
The goat didn't make a fucking contract,
but the goat is the person. The goat is the person.
Yeah, I think what you're suggesting is a situation where, like, when you get polymorphed, you are substituted for another goat in another dimension, which I don't think is how it works. It's a cool idea, though.
No matter what, no goats went to hell. Is that what... That's what everyone's saying, right?
Well, the goats were in hell.
They were already in hell.
Yeah. They were already in hell.
I think we all agree that the players didn't die. Is that true?
I don't believe the players died. I was curious about the souls of the goats.
I think the goat death is different than the player death. Emily's arguing that if you shapeshift, you are out of every contract you've signed.
I mean, I like this idea, like, from, like, a metaphysical level where, like, when you are polymorphed, the way that polymorph works is, like, a goat soul is taken from somewhere else and infused with you, and that is why you're able to transform to a goat. So, yeah, maybe there are goat souls that are now in hell under the command of this fiend.
But Murph also mentioned the goats were already in hell. They were summoned from hell.
The goats, everyone's already in hell.
Let's bring it to a different situation. Okay. If I'm in a campaign, let's say I'm with Hard One. Hard One made a deal with someone that he's like, I can't go into that house. I promised I wouldn't go to that bar.
Right.
And then I'm what if I polymorph you into a different
Right. Then that bar is like throwing a really cool party and Hard One needs to come.
He's still going into the bar.
But
yeah.
I would try it.
And
I
then
would
the
do
devil
some
would come
inside
kill Hard
checks.
One.
I didn't realize they were doing a dart contest that weekend. I really need to play.
I'd do some inside checks. I'd see if it was feasable.
Shenanigans, Emily, of thinking that you can get out of contracts by being an animal.
No. It's not thinking I can get out. It's thinking I can try.
Okay, yeah, that's true. You can always try. I would agree with that.
If you die in goat form, do you die in real life? I don't think you do.
Yeah,
that's
Matrix.
That's right. That's the core, the essence of the question. So but it sounds the core is aligned.
Regardless of what we feel about animals being beholden to contracts, of which Emily has very strong opinions.
Oh my god, I just almost snorted kombucha out my nose, and I really think I have some carbonation in my nasal passage.
That's a fizzy. That's a fizzy drink.
Regardless of what we agree or disagree on there, the question is not that. The question is, did the players die?
Yeah. Hypothetically, could the person doing the polymorph do some kind of arcana or religion check to make the polymorph so real?
I think there's a true polymorph where permanently turn somebody into something.
All right, that's fair. True polymorph could get you out of a contract.
I don't think it could though, because it's still you. Like you still, it's like.
But
if
true
I turn...
polymorph in that instance, that player would then go to hell because that would be.
But
really...
it would still be Moonshine the Goat. She would still have the same soul. This is getting like philosophical. Like if
I'm just
I turn Emily into a goat, she is still Emily. She's just Emily the Goat.
Right. And we're saying if that goat Emily died and the goat Emily had made this contract, would she go to hell? It seems like yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. But in this instance, the brief polymorph, which was not a true polymorph, means that's not a true death, which means these players, their souls are fine and they are not in hell.
Yes.
You know what? I'm reading polymorph right now, and the wording is the spell transforms a creature that you can see within range into a new form. And so I therefore rescind what I was going to say, and I would have been like, let's try this. And then I would have read the spell and been like, you know, I don't think it will
work. You rescind the cows can't sign contracts defense.
You know, this person did not seem like they had Nicholas didn't have a side of this case, but we have to rule against somebody. Nicholas just posed the question.
Well, didn't Nicholas say that?
Nicholas was the DM, right?
Nicholas is the DM.
Yes, but they only said, they only asked the question. They only said, would their souls get
taken? I think that we need to punish them for posing the question.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah?
Okay, that's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's, if you don't give us anyone to punish, we have no choice but to punish you. But we're all on the side of the players here, right, that they didn't die.
Right.
Yes.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they didn't die.
Because
they reverted to their true form.
And Nicholas strategically doesn't tell us what happened in their campaign. They said that this happens to their players, and then they say, does
this
count?
My guess is there might have been a debate. There might have been like, haha, I tricked you. And then the players were like, what? No. And then they got into an argument, and then it was never decided.
Suffice to say, I think it's fair that we rule against Nicholas.
I think that, you know what? I'm actually going to take it one step further and just say, like, props to that cleric. That's just a really fun move.
Yeah.
I just think
that's
cool.
That was good thinking.
That's
you know
fun.
What? If you wanted to screw them over, a great way to do it would have been, what was the spell that they used?
Firestorm. To say
Firestorm.
That it's hellfire.
That was hellfire
because
it's fire
it.
In hell and they were immune to
I
it.
I thought that's where this question was going. In which case, I was going to say, the goats didn't make that deal.
Yeah, no, the goats are still immune to hellfire. Emily, your goats get around stuff defense is bunk.
Goats don't sign contracts.
The goats do sign contracts. If you are a person who signs a contract and then you become a goat, you are still responsible for those contracts.
Can I recommend a punishment for Nicholas?
Yeah.
I think that they have to DM for four goats.
Yes. I think that's great.
Whoa, like goat yoga, but goat DMing.
Goat DMing. Yeah.
goat D&D. It's, I mean, it'll be very fun, and you'll get some cute photos out of it, but they are going to eat your player screen. They are going
to
eat your D&D
The logic
screen.
Holds up, because Nicholas
they're definitely
is treating
choke
goats
on a die,
like
and you're
going
to have to Heimlich maneuver a goat.
Okay, so the punishment, right. You must DM for some goats.
Cool. So ordered. All right, the next case comes from Cass M. Cass writes, Honorable Justices, and I guess Jake too, fair enough. I am the DM for my friends, and I'm worried I was too harsh. Mm. One of my players is a dragonborn potion maker. Some quests are focused on them finding new potions or ingredients, and the most recent potion...
I fucking love that.
The most recent potion called for a white dragon scale. I thought it would lead to a future quest, but instead my player asked if they could remove one of their own scales. I thought this was clever, and I said yes, with a successful con save, since you're effectively ripping off your skin. The player then asked if they could rip off their own scales more often in order to sell them. I said it would cause a decrease in AC if too many scales were removed.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great call.
Without giving them time to grow back. My player seemed bummed, and I'm worried I ruined their fun. Should I let my PC rip off their scales?
I think
you offered a perfect counterbalance to this. Yeah,
I think
that's a weird energy to bring too. Is to be like, I want to sell my skin. You know what I mean? Like
this campaign is, it's already just like it's quests for potions and stuff.
Yeah,
and this player is like, I want to become a salesperson.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of a human being like,
can I pull out my tooth? And
yeah,
sell
can
it?
I pull out my teeth all the time?
Sure can.
Why?
Although I would argue that the weirdness is inherent because like you're still ripping out like the scale of a dragon, which is like a sentient beast in this world. So like it's a little weirder because it's like a player doing it, but like you're still ripping scales out regardless. And like if you're a dragonborn, you got to feel like that's a little weird to
but
do.
But presumably you're hunting them, like you've killed this other dragon or something like that, versus like ripping off your own.
It's so weird to me to like play a fantastical campaign where you're like stalking for dragons, making potions. And then you're like, actually, I want to stay home and sell stuff. that's what people do for life.
There's so many people that play like that where they're just like, how do I get around playing this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I figure out how to not do quests?
Can my character start an Etsy shop?
Yeah.
Like you can you could just do that as a person.
Argument though, and this is not unfair. This DM totally right.
Awesome.
However, I do think that like a character starting an Etsy shop, having a resource heavy campaign is really quite fun.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. But I think
playing like a traveling merchant.
I think nobody wants to like visualize that. Just this like dragonborn ripping
their
scales
the
off
is, like,
and then selling
it's
them.
Really it's really unpleasant.
I think
that's the thing is like you got to maybe ratchet up the punishment each time. It's like you've got to be like, oh, this is starting to scab over and get infected.
Yeah.
Like you're losing AC and also you're taking a level of exhaustion. Like really make it unpleasant for the player.
Yeah, I was thinking that like you might take like a penalties to their con.
Yeah.
You know, like okay, once you like sell this many, then your con permanently drops one, not the smaller number, the bigger number. If they have like 18 con, it might go down to 17, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sales rolls should also be made with disadvantage. Cause like, can you imagine approaching someone to like buy something and it's your skin and you're like bleeding? You're
insane.
Do you want this? People would be like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Where did this come from? Where did you get this dragon scale?
Oh.
Hiding the giant wound.
I just feel like this player, if they want to make money, they should just start like taking quests.
Yeah.
just play like, the game. And like have some more fun with it.
It's very funny to picture somebody like ripping a scab off and eating it and being like, I win.
Yeah.
I beat you.
I beat the game, you fool.
So do you guys think Cass was not hard enough?
Cass
had the perfect response.
Yeah,
I think that you had the perfect response, and your players being disappointed, I feel like they might be disappointed in the moment, but ultimately they're going to have a more fun game for it.
Totally.
So like, you didn't disappoint them.
Yeah. The game has highs and lows. It's nice to be disappointed so you can be happy later.
Yeah, exactly. As with all of this stuff, you can always talk to your player like out of character and just be like, hey, so I'm cool with you finding like fun ways to get around this stuff, but also, you know, no one necessarily wants to listen to you rip your skin off.
Oh, and you get that, right?
And you understand. Surely you understand that. You understand.
Surely this is a reasonable thought.
You have to get that.
There's a difference between a bit and like a character feat. Like if you do it like once or twice, it's kind of funny. But if you make it like a core component of your character, it becomes a little weird.
Yeah. It'd be like if Beverly ripped his own teeth out. And I was like, you're going to have to.
Beverly knows there's a line.
Or like ripped his nails off. Oh, my God.
Oh, why?
Let's move on to sentencing, please.
Let's move on to sentencing. Yes, we're on the same side here.
Of course.
We're against the Dragonborn ripping their scales off.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have to do to them that they're not already doing to themselves?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
You got to go to the dermatologist.
Yeah.
You have to take care of your scales.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to go to the dermatologist once a week, and specifically like one that's kind of far away.
Yeah.
And also, it's really, I mean, it's hard to get a dermatologist appointment, let alone a standing appointment once a week. You're going to be on the phone a lot.
And I think that like you have to go even if they don't accept your insurance coverage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm saying
you gotta go full price.
It has to be at least 15 miles away.
It's perfect. And is this in game or in real life? They have to go to the
dermatologist.
This
is in real life. And they also have to. They also have to book it so that it's like they're either that they're perfectly like they go at like 2 so that they're driving home, or they go at like 3 so they're driving home with rush hour traffic.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I've got it too. You have to go to a different dermatologist every week and explain to them your in game problem.
Okay, now we're just punishing dermatologists.
Yeah, that's true.
So ordered. Our next case comes from Andrew PGL. May it please the court and any cats within earshot. I come
cute.
Wow.
Oh
pandering.
My God,
they know.
Oh,
I come to you with a case in which I was not a participant, but a witness. Mm. I'm a player in a game with a ranged rogue, specifically one who uses cunning action, hide, a la Deadeye, to get advantage and sneak attack via unseen attacker. Uh-huh. Tensions peaked in last week's session when the DM denied him advantage despite his 30-plus stealth roll because he was shooting from behind the same hedge he had already fired from. The gnolls were keeping an eye on it. This dispute ended the session a half an hour earlier than we usually would. Who was in the wrong here? Should the DM have honored the high stealth roll and given him advantage, or should shooting from the same place twice nullify that?
Okay,
that's
can
very
I ask,
interesting.
Can I ask Murph a question? There might be, I guess I'm saying, like, is the argument that the gnolls are using active perception or something like that? Like, are they, I thought that stealthing as a rogue was like, okay, you do your stealth roll and then.
Well, you do need something to hide behind. So the rules do have, we usually, because we're theater of the mind, we don't really deal with that. But if we were playing a crunchy home game, you could be like, hey, you're in the middle of a field. You're going to make this hide check with disadvantage, or unless you're a halfling and you have some ability that lets you hide behind larger creatures, you can't hide right now. Like, that is a fine ruling. It's not.
That's a fine ruling, but they had a hedge.
I know, but if, I mean, think about it. If somebody's in like a, if you're watching like a movie with like a Western gunfight or something, and somebody's hiding behind like a saloon door and keeps popping out and shooting, you know that dude's back there.
But even this if he's is only twice. Right. It's only twice, and I feel like a hedge can be really thick. So you might be like, "Shit, how far into the hedge did they go?"
But also, like with the hedge, you know the dude's back there, but you don't know when they're gonna jump up and shoot.
Exactly.
That's like that's the mystery of disappearing behind the window.
That almost makes me think, like, I wonder if a rogue could ever get like if they held their action just one turn, if there was this, like, you can't hide behind the same place twice, then could you add the element of surprise? I'm coming out on a different round.
Oh!
You could also argue that coming up from the same place twice is surprising because they might be looking for somebody moving. It's like the
Jake. Did they mention whether or not the gnolls made a perception check to like discern where the arrows?
Oh
were
yeah,
coming
that's
from?
What I was trying to understand, Murph. Because I feel like when I've played with rogues, I see the DMs always say, "Oh, make a hide check."
Right.
And then but I didn't know if the DMs were behind the screen rolling perception checks for the combatant.
The DM said that the gnolls were keeping an eye on it, quote. That's all we have. So that could imply
that's
limited information.
But that's when we play live, it's no fun to, and this goes for D20 as well, Brennan's not going to sit there and roll perception checks on a rogue that gets a 30 or something like that. And also, like, we're trying to keep it moving. But if you're playing a really crunchy, combat-heavy campaign at home, you might say, hey, you can't hide here or something like that.
I guess that's what
even if we are in an empty void and you roll a 40 on a stealth check, your DM can still be like, there's nowhere to hide. It doesn't
work. Yeah, but
work.
This person has a hedge.
But
so no matter Knowles what.
Know that they're, I think that it's a little cheap if the DM didn't give them a heads up, because I feel like everyone should be let in on that logic. It's like, they saw you shoot them and then you just went back to the same place.
I think you're right. That's like the bigger problem, is that like they like let them get that far, that let them get to the point where they're rolling their stealth check, and then they told them that they couldn't do it. Like, you should have like alerted them before the stealth check was even made, I feel like.
Certainly.
Yeah, for sure.
But it does sound like everybody was being a little bit uncouth, considering that this ended the session half an hour early. Can you imagine your DM being like, you actually don't get advantage here, and you fighting so hard we have to stop playing?
Yeah, also this person was like, I was just a passive witness. Makes me think that this person was maybe so not on the side of the rogue either. Like, maybe everyone went to a slightly unreasonable place.
Yeah,
there's a chance that like the rogue was warned that like this is what was going to happen.
Yeah,
and
we don't know
anyway, and then we're mad about it. It sounds like everyone's getting a little lost in the crunch.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's fine. I mean, especially for home games, the reason we don't get super, super crunchy is because we have to keep it entertaining. But if we were sitting there with like a freaking Warhammer mat and it was essentially like me versus you guys, and we're like playing, you know, combat with minis and stuff, I might be like, yeah, you're behind a fucking shrub. This dude is not a moron. Like, they have like an average intelligence or whatever. You just popped up and shot them for probably like 70 damage because you're a rogue. And then you popped back down. You did a real good job hiding yourself. But any intelligent creature is going to know that that's probably where you are.
That's the thing that I keep bumping against, though. Because if you go behind a hedge, you have no idea. He could come up from any other part of the hedge.
And that's why if you come up somewhere else, you get advantage. And if you don't, then they know where you are. That's the logic of hide.
If somebody like shot me with a Nerf gun and then jumped behind a fence,
They
didn't jump behind a fence.
A hedge. A hedge is like, I guess, like, what do you guys picture as a hedge?
I'm picturing a tall hedge. I think I'm confused by by your definition of hedge. Your definition of hedge seems to be knee high.
It's like a bush.
I think of a hedge as being a tall bush.
Yeah, I think of hedge as a fence. You're thinking of a shrub.
I'm going to go ahead and abstain from this one because I actually don't know what is expected in a normal thing to for rogues.
I would have
hide
to
action.
I would have to imagine that it couldn't have been that long.
Let me just show. I'm submitting into evidence. I'm submitting into evidence a Google image search of a hedge. I don't want us to get locked into thinking of
saying.
A hedge is not a shrub.
Some of these hedges are knee high, is what I'm getting at here. People are poking over.
But I agree with Murph that like if you jump behind a small shrub again, you didn't hide the second time. But I think if you jump behind a long hedge.
A hedge maze, my friends?
Yeah.
I think there's a world where you could argue it. That's all I'm saying.
You could argue it, but like they didn't. The thing is that they didn't move. So they didn't. You wouldn't. I don't agree
they
with
did.
The logic that
the
you would be surprised that they didn't move.
They used
the
bonus
usually
action to hide. So that's essentially moving. That's diving behind the hedge.
But
not saying.
It's the smacking the gophers logic. You know when you're at Dave and Buster's and the gophers are popping up? Sometimes the same one pops up
twice.
Yes,
but that's specifically a game with no danger. If there's
Jake,
if
you are talking me away from my abstinence.
If there's like trench warfare or something like that, the people aren't shooting in random spots thinking that the dude is going to move.
Okay,
they're shooting where the fire is coming from.
I am now going
combat
to
combat is around to 6 seconds.
I am now going to introduce what I like to call the fired up Jake precedent, which is if Jake gets really fired up, there's something there.
I like that. I'm a little fired up.
The fire can burn on both sides because I find myself aligned with Murph. If you fill your mouth with crunch and then your gums start bleeding, you know what? What'd you expect?
Yeah.
What did you fucking expect? I got to come down with Murph on this one.
I don't know anything about how to run combat against a rogue, so I am not weighing in anything other than I like Jake's passionate defense.
Let me say this. This is all
because I'm playing a rogue right
this
now.
This is with very limited information. I will say that I wouldn't rule it like that. I would say if you're hiding, I'm just going to give you advantage. That's generally what I'm going to do. But if someone were to argue me and be like, no, this isn't how I run combat. If you're going to just stay in the same spot, the dudes are going to know where you are. Because that logic is kind of insane. Like, let's take that out of the hedge situation.
Is the thing, if you're a rogue, you can, optional thing from Tasha is you can do steady aim, which is like a bonus action just to get advantage. If the DM's like, if you hide there again, they're going to know where you are. So you're not hiding. Couldn't you then just be like, all right, I guess I'll steady aim?
Yeah, I mean, if you have that feat.
Yes.
For sure.
So it's not a feat. It's just a optional thing.
Oh,
for
you're
rogues.
Right. Okay,
yes.
cool.
So I would say if I were the DM, I would have not done this, but I respect the DM's right to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it doesn't speak well for the player that the session ended half an hour early.
I think it doesn't.
It's not a huge deal to lose advantage. Even if I think if this were the DM submitting it and they relented and they were, or if the DM submitted this and they were like, and my player seemed really disappointed, was I too harsh? I would probably say, yeah, they were too harsh. Like, I get why your player was disappointed there, but in the current situation, which is like, were they technically allowed to do this? I think the DM was probably technically allowed to do this. And then also, I'm not going to give the player that much credit because they ended the session. So
I think that we need to, though, I think we do need to acknowledge that one thing that needs to be acknowledged is that hedges can be tall.
Hedges. Oh,
and they can be long.
We know they can be
tall. They can be long.
We know
mages. To say that.
Could you? Yeah, I think you're going to need to send us an AutoCAD render of these hedges.
Can a hedge just be a bush, though? Can you just have a short hedge?
Yeah,
I thought
so. A short hedge.
But like, I don't think, I think that's a shrub, though. It can be short, but it can't, but I think it's still long.
But is a hedge a shrub and a shrub not a hedge?
I do think a hedge signals a border. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. It's. I think a hedge is a border.
But I think you could have a little hedge.
You can
have
a short little
one,
hedge.
But I think
you certainly
can.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing any hedges that a person couldn't be on their hands and knees behind.
Right. Of course they could. Okay.
I think what I'm going to do is
tall.
I'm going to abstain for the next 30 minutes and then leave.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and make our votes? I am going to. I think the DM was too harsh for my tastes. But
yeah,
I respect your right. So I'm gonna side with the DM.
Yeah, I think. I don't like how this shook down, but without any further information, I feel like it does lean in the DM's favor. I will roll with the DM.
I'm going to rule with Jake that hedges are tall.
Oh shit.
Wow, I love that.
Is
I fucking
jury
love
hung?
It.
Yeah, I think the jury can be hung. I'm cool with that because honestly, I feel like people are gonna freak out about this one. Every once in a while, every once in a while, we have a case where everyone gets so mad at us.
Know how to run combat for a rogue, so
sweet.
I'm only weighing in that hedges can be tall.
The bailiff persuaded you from the back of the court.
You guys both seem to be kind of on the player side here. I think. Don't let us browbeat you into. We're not trying to do that.
The only thing I'm defending right now is the potential height of hedges.
Okay.
Right. I say that we don't offer a judgment and then we run and hide in the nearest hedge maze so no one can get us.
Great.
Oh, that's a good punishment.
There is no punishment. The crit court is hung. That doesn't even make sense. But it can happen with us.
Do we punish ourselves?
Oh.
Yes.
Great call.
I think we punish ourselves.
We're
going to
punish
and
ourselves.
And we all get to spend a day in a hedge maze.
Whoa,
yeah,
that's
no water. Fun.
Whoa.
Yeah, our punishments can be fun because
that's awesome.
That would be so fun. You know what would be fun?
Yeah, no water, but we can have a flask.
Oh,
it is
maze.
It's corn maze season for sure.
It's corn maze season
corn
for
maze
sure.
Season. We go to a corn maze and then like, so what? How this works is there's like a, okay,
what
this
are you
is gonna
say?
Really weird.
What?
Say it.
Okay,
we're in
so
the maze.
There's like,
I'm there.
There is like a keg, and you can fill it with whatever you want. And it has all these really long, skinny straws.
What?
And
what the fuck are
you
talking about?
Is this how you beat the maze?
No, wait, I was just thinking of a fun hedge maze party.
Wait, why do you have skinny straws?
Let's move on.
You have to describe the skinny straws. What the fuck are you talking about?
Murph,
everyone wants to know what you're talking about. Does anyone else know what you meant by the skinny straws?
I think you mean that so you could like go into the maze, but you're still sipping from the straw wherever you are in the maze?
I realize that is kind of flawed. Okay, it's a flawed premise because you would just
straws are flawed. These are flawed straws.
Follow the straw to the ending.
Wait, why are there? Everyone has a straw that's so long that it goes
that it's at the end
maze?
Of the maze.
It was a really flawed part.
I know, but wait, I'm just so. What was even?
Do you guys remember when I choked on my kombucha? I think a little bit of carbonation went to my brain
in your head?
And is pressing on weird part of my brain.
I'm trying to visualize what you're visualizing though. So it's everyone walking around with a super long straw in their mouth.
Right, but you were worried that
are you making me talk more about this? I jumped out of the plane. I pulled the ripcord. I'm supposed to be safe from this.
What's not to get, Murph? You've got a long straw that is retractable like a tape measure, and you're using it to navigate the corn maze.
I actually think that if you went over the corn maze, that in that case, it wouldn't give away where the ending was because you would generally know the direction that the straw was coming from.
No, it's like Theseus and the Minotaur, you fool. You're using that to keep track of where you've been. Your straw is at the entrance, and then you keep drinking. The keg is at the entrance. You use the long straw so you know where you've been so you don't get lost in the maze.
Oh, it's at the entrance. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what
But sometimes you have to double back in a maze. Anyway,
that's why you have multiple straws.
We have to move on.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there, which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
This case literally tore the jury, the crit apart. I'm sorry.
Now I've got brain bubbles. I don't know what happened.
I actually do have something for this, a quick remedy, because I've found a question or a case that I'm considering a heartwarming crit recess.
Whoa.
I don't think we have to judge it or anything. It was just
really fucking sweet. No, we can punish them.
Okay, cool. them in my maze. We can put them in my weird fucked up
But they don't get a straw.
It might be a case for that. So, all right.
May writes, "May it displease the court as much as it displeases me. My little sister has started DMing over the last year and now has 3 weekly campaigns running at the same time with mostly new players who she has introduced to the game. Her crime, you might ask? She doesn't think she's a good DM. This dungeon queen, who has kept the campaigns running through lockdowns, exams, terrible Wi-Fi, and players not learning their bloody character sheets, thinks she's a bad DM. The only time she took a week off was after a wisdom tooth surgery when she physically could not speak. She's even let her maniac players choose the kind of world they want to play in and lets one group go to Hogwarts and another have a Star Trek campaign. Hear my plea and judge her for the most heinous crime of undervaluing her sick DM skills. If found guilty, may the court punish her harshly, like giving her a medal for every session she's run. She would surely drown under them. Or having her players kiss her boots and cry praise to the dungeon mummy until she appreciates how great she is.
This is very
sweet. I hereby declare that this court be named the Dungeon Mummy Court.
The Dungeon Mummy.
Yeah, it sounds like she's doing an awesome job. Those sound like super fun campaigns. I mean, letting your players pick their world, I feel like that means that your heart's in the right place. You're saying, what are you going to have fun doing? Then I will do that for you.
I agree.
This sounds like the dream.
Yeah.
And this was a beautiful question, but we get a lot of cases like this that are a lot of DMs second guessing what they've done or like, did I fuck up? Are my players mad? And I think it's a good way to remind people that DMing is hard and you have to, and DMs should have fun too. There's a reason this crit often sides with the DM because it's a hard job.
That is literally what last one, literally it was like kind of a tie, maybe even in favor of the player. But I was like, I'm going to side with the DM in this case because it is so much work.
I would say tie usually goes to the DM. Didn't we learn from our PowerPoint presentation that I am the most DM leaning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because I love a DM.
Yeah.
It's tough
his
work.
His name is Brian Murphy.
I think.
Ew, I can't believe I said the B word.
it's very commendable that she was able to keep up 3 campaigns at once. That's crazy. And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she's doing an awesome job for all of her players, especially just like letting them choose what kind of world they want to do.
Yeah.
But I also, I want to remind your sister to look out for her too. Make sure she's having fun. And make sure you're running the games that, you want to run and that you want to play. And if you're catering to your players this much, and if you care this much about what they want to play, what their experience is, I am positive that she is a good DM.
Also,
the
fact that all 3 campaigns are still running, it means you're doing something very right.
Yeah, you're a bad DM if all of the campaigns are done, like after the first session.
Yeah, we get so many questions of people, like even people who are good DMs with good groups of friends still talk about how hard it is to schedule. Like it's I think, a feat to even be meeting up every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If any of these players aren't grateful, we're going to come downstairs and we're going to give them a talking to.
That's right.
Yeah. That is
don't make
true.
Me come down there.
We're gonna give
don't
them straws
me...
and we're going to throw them in a hedge maze.
All right.
Why is this a bit? Why can't we forget that it happened?
We can't. Never.
Yeah, never. Okay. Crit is back in session. Recess is over. And we're coming back for some shark farts.
All right, let's be mean again.
Sharks! So many animals.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Ryan F. writes, can a were-shark fart? If it pleases the court, but displeases the lowly bailiff. During quarantine, I started DMing. Don't worry, it'll make sense in a second. I started DMing for my 4- and 7-year-old sons.
Okay.
During a session for my 4-year-old...
Okay.
Yeah, now they're children, so the toots are cute. Toots are cute now. During a session for my 4-year-old's were-shark named Sharkbait, they were attempting to sneak behind some goblins, but after failing his stealth check, I said he farted and alerted the goblins. My 4-year-old retorted that sharks can't fart. I said that he could, since he's a were-shark with a human-like legs, and he would have a human-like butthole. But my 7-year-old, after recently learning about sharks, came to his brother's defense, saying that his character had a shark tail, he would have a cloaca and anal fin, and his farts would be silent. So which is it? Does a were-shark have a human-like butthole or a shark cloaca? Also, would this ruling extend to other were-beasts?
So I looked I looked up, do sharks fart?
Me too.
What I'm reading so far, sand tiger sharks, just about this, gulp air from the surface of the water and store it, which prevents them from sinking when they stop swimming. We've all seen tiger sharks in aquariums just hanging there, unlike most sharks, which would sink. Well, this is their secret. They let air out in the form of a fart when they want to lose buoyancy. As for Ooh. Other shark species, we just don't know.
So more research is required.
They're not ripping loud ass, though.
Yeah, but they're expelling gas from their cloacas.
They expel air from their butts, though.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Well, specifically the tiger shark. They said for other sharks, they don't know. Mm-hmm. So.
I think if your child is going to bust out the word cloaca, you have to go with them.
Yeah.
You have to be like, oh, my God, I'm so proud of you.
Excuse me, little genius man.
You did
nurture
it.
This in you.
Your kids are running circles around you. And it turns out that, like, the four-year-old is a low-key genius, too. Because the four-year-old knew about the cloaca without actually knowing the word cloaca. He just said sharks can't fart. And he's fucking right.
This is a great way to accidentally teach your kids is to DM harshly against them so that they have to research things and then fight you.
Yeah, and then someday they'll be famous scientists and they'll buy you a fucking house with a fucking pool. And you can go get a shark and see if it farts.
One day these kids will be accepting their Nobel Prize for shark fart research. And they'll have you to think.
Yeah, I actually think that I do agree with the kid. The kid said they have a shark tail.
Yeah.
So they would have like a shark butt, not like a regular butt.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think I agree with their logic. And also, I think I'm going to remind everyone, blasting grandma. There's like some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like kids that are trying to be clever, not cute. And grandmas that they get what they want. Mm-hmm.
And this is honestly the DM's fault because normally when we do a session zero, Murph asks us
we
if
talk
our characters
about the
have cloacas or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We do a whole session. That's just like, what sort of noises can I make?
Aren't farts caused by the butt cheeks? Because like dogs fart and it smells terrible, but they don't
you
don't hear like a loud
you hear a dog fart? That's a good question. Caldwell, do you ever hear your dog fart?
I don't think so. I've definitely smelled her farts.
Yeah.
My baby can fart and does quite often. Yeah. And it's very funny, but yeah. The dog silent farts.
Yeah, it's the cheeks.
It's the ripple
of the cheeks.
Sharks don't have cheeks.
Yeah.
Although air coming out would make a glug glug sound. But it sounds like they weren't underwater in this battle.
Right.
Again,
yeah,
this is why you have
shark.
To ask your players, what's going on down there?
Yeah.
Do you have butt cheeks? How many holes?
What do you have butt cheek-wise?
I want to say something in the shark dad's defense. Or just
without
like,
the cheeks, does it make a squeak?
I put that before the court. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. So here's what I would posit, though. In the Harriet defense, there's no noise, but there's a smell. There's a stench.
Mm.
No noise.
Oh.
In defense of the stench, someone could be alerted to activity near them if the smell changed. If somebody farted and it was silent but deadly, you could be discovered.
And sharks have a diet of mostly meat and garbage. So you know it's going to be a stinky fart.
I don't want to rule against the children. I'm submitting.
But you're making a case for it.
Okay, so Jake is officially ruling against the children.
Holy
shit,
dude.
This is
was playing devil's advocate. And I'd like to actually.
And I'm thinking about how excited.
I'm just a bailiff. I shouldn't be talking. I'm not supposed to be here.
You know what? I'm with Jake.
About the hedge defense,
I'm with Jake here.
And now I'm starting to feel like, holy shit, like, what did I do? Who have I been complicit with?
I wasn't supposed to talk during the case. I really. I just say the decision afterwards, all right? I don't want to.
He's having it both ways. Don't let him get away with it.
I'm just landing on no cheeks, no squeaks.
No cheeks, no squeaks. This is the Vigo horse
no
rule.
No cheeks, no squeak. No cheeks, no squeaks. You can sneak.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh.
No
wow.
cheeks, no squeaks. You can sneak. Tell your kids this rhyme.
The rhyme makes it canon.
The rhyme makes it canon.
Oh, they're going to get in trouble at school.
Kids, take a seat.
I would say in 99% of other cases, if this was brought up, it would just be like, yeah, of course we rule with the DM. They failed their stealth check. This stuff was just said for flavor. But kids take everything literally. So you can't go to a kid and be like, this is what happens. Because then they're going to be like, oh, but here, like you've left yourself open for your very smart children.
Yeah.
you should be proud, but also we need to punish you.
Yeah. Sorry, kids. Yeah. Your dad's getting punished.
Your dad's getting punished.
We eat shark farts.
Are we all
right?
Siding with the kids except for Jake?
Wait, I'm siding with the kids.
Three to one. Three for the kids.
It's not three to one. It's unanimous. It's unanimous.
Fucking brutal.
I love the children.
What are we going
to
do?
You got to go to this dad's house and you got to punish him.
What?
Holy crap. I guess, yeah, the punishment will be Jake and this dad have to hang out and shit talk your kids?
What?
Wow.
You have to listen to Jake going
on
your children?
Cruel and unusual punishment for both of us.
It's like a privilege for Jake. He's into it. Yeah, he can't wait.
He hates children. Seriously, though, congrats on your very smart kids. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess so ordered. Message me. Address. And yeah, I mean.
Two in a row where we can't agree.
It's nice to have an easy case every once in a while, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've been ending these crit sessions with a confessional. So if you guys would like to hear one.
Oh, yes.
Take me to church.
Abby R. Because we don't separate church and state here.
Horribly corrupt. Yeah. We are now in the house of Dice Christ.
The judges take off their robes and put on Pope hats.
Put on
it's
different
really
robes.
Fucked up.
We take off our robes and put on
priestly
different robes.
Priestly Dice Christ robes.
Yeah.
The bailiff becomes the organ player.
All right. Jake, tell us the sins of our listeners.
You got it. Abby R. writes, may it please the court or church. This is actually me turning myself in for something I believe was unjust of me. A while back, I was DMing a casual high-level one-shot for a group of friends. The players all had powerful magical items, and one had the Nine Lives Cleaver, a sword that on a nat 20, the target must make a con save or be fully dead. As a joke, during some RP, the character with the magical item said that they bonked another character over the head with the sword. And as a joke, I told them to make an attack roll. They rolled a nat 20, and the person who got bonked made a con save, which they failed. I told them it was okay, and they didn't have to be dead, because it was just a joke. But the rest of the table was committed to the bit, and the character stayed dead despite my protesting.
Whoa.
They told me that it was okay, and since it was only a one-shot, they didn't care. But I've never stopped feeling guilty about it. Was I in the wrong, or was it a funny joke that went a bit too far?
Wow. I think it was just a funny joke. It seemed like it didn't go too far.
It sounds like the other people were committed to it.
Yeah.
It seemed like everyone liked it.
You left this to Dice Christ, and Dice Christ gave
that
you your answer.
That is true.
The dice tell their story.
Once this was introduced, it needed to kill someone. The fact that it happened on a goon.
It was Chekhov's sword.
Yes. Yeah.
It absolutely had to destroy somebody, especially in a one-shot,
yeah.
to have that
oh,
role
for sure.
and to have it actually come into play.
For sure. I think that happening to me in a one-shot, I would be like, no, I stayed dead. It's funny.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I would be that player.
I guess I want to know if the player, like, an hour in is like, okay, I would like to come back to life, please.
You said it was a joke, right?
It sounds like it must have happened at the end because they just had a one shot. I mean, this DM literally said, you don't have to do this. And all the players were like, no, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah. Can we offer a Dice Christ blessing to this player for committing so hard?
Yeah.
Dice Christ blessings to you all.
Oh, I like that.
To you for caring so much about your party, but we absolve you of,
we absolve your
sins.
Yeah,
Dice Christ absolves you of your sins.
Yeah. We have no power. We can't do it. Yeah.
We do it on their behalf.
We're but vessels of Dice Christ.
We are but vessels.
Indeed. Envoys.
Unlike normal church, you can just come in for a confession and we might just say, you're fine. You didn't do anything.
Yeah. You're totally good.
Yeah. Just think about how
good. Yeah, there's
you
really
are.
Not a monetary incentive for us to punish you. Yeah. So, no punishment.
No punishment at all.
You did nothing wrong.
You know what? Do you want to hang out, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can get out of this confession booth and we can go get some donuts.
Oh, that's cool. Or you could come you could come visit like the shark dad with me and we can shit talk to children.
Oh, goodness. All right.
The hang was going so well.
All right, everybody. Why don't we go ahead and wrap this one up? Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to Hearthside Chats. That's the bonus this week over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Sweet.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I would plug the HeadGum Podcast live show
New
York.
It's the same night as us. HeadGum, the HeadGum Podcast is opening for NADPOD. That show is sold out, but you can catch the other one.
Check it out. And we'll hopefully be announcing other live shows soon. We really want to get back out there and see everybody. And thank you to everyone who bought tickets already.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah. They sold out so fast.
But it was definitely a call to action for more live shows.
Seats. We want to see everybody. So we'll do more seats next time.
If you didn't get it this time, we will be on the road again soon. So be on the lookout for tickets when we announce them. And hopefully we'll do
I'm so sick of this house. I'm so sick of this tiny room where I record.
Sweet, guys. Anything else to plug?
I would love to shout out some stuff from our P.O. box, if that's okay.
Sweet. Let's do it.
Here we go. Marcus L. sent us a copy of the guidebook for their homebrewed world of Blythemire. It looks absolutely sick. This is a thick-ass booklet. I'm very jealous of your players and all of the fun treats that await them. Troy and Kelly sent us a birth announcement for their firstborn daughter, who they named Binky Fiasco.
Congratulations. Another. How many Binky Fiascos are out there now?
So many little Binkies in the world. Actually, JK, they named her Fia Jean, which is, I think, a slightly better name. Just slightly, though. Congratulations, you two.
That's so
very
sweet.
Cute, baby. Big Tim of Big Tim's Funny Books sent us a zine called Guerrilla Warfare that's full of talking apes you can use in 5e. It is perfect for Trinavale. We'll have to go back to the Ranifor so I can, I guess you can have some conversations with apes.
Nice.
Wow.
Let's see. Chris B. sent us a nice note. Apparently, Chris, this is very fun, just ran a marathon and crossed the finish line while listening to the Smafire bit from Eldermorn.
Awesome.
Wow. That must have been fucking Chariots of Fire. Yeah. We are all succeeding together. And each of our accomplishments are as cool as you finishing a marathon.
Send me your medal because I would love to put it on my wall.
Yeah. Technically, we all did it together.
Yeah.
Send your medal to Dungeon Mommy.
Yeah,
actually,
melt it down and send us some of that medal.
Something tells me that your efforts made you look a little better than ours.
Cheyenne sent us a nice note and a graduation announcement. Congrats on graduating, Cheyenne.
Yes.
Ooh, Grace sent us some big 3D printed dice with the Third Mate's emblems on them.
They are super
big and chunky, and I cannot wait roll a 2 on this bad boy.
Yeah,
thank
baby.
Thank you so much, Grace.
Bring them on stage. Bring them to New York.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to step on it and I'm going to trip.
Cool.
But anyway, thanks again, Grace. If you would like to send us something, you can do it at 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Oh, thank you.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At CH Murph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Jake Irwitz is Jake, and at EAxford is Emily. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. Dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elder, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., the GOATs Nicholas P. is being forced to DM for. They actually spent the first hour of the session diligently rolling characters, but as soon as Nicholas started describing the tavern they were in, they all scarfed their dice and started kicking over lamps. GOATs gonna GOAT, I guess. Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jibe G, and Dylan B, marine biologists who have spent their entire life trying to figure out if sharks are capable of farting. 90% of the Supreme Crit salaries goes to financing this vital scientific mission. Daniel the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M, Beardman Dan, Scott D, and Danny P, Dragonborn merchants who used to sell their scales to potion makers, but now exclusively sell them to wandering bards. Turns out they make incredible guitar picks. Mixologist Michael McD, Vincent W, Balnor's Boy, and Andrew B, farmers and artisans who crafted the corn maze within which the Supreme Crit is currently trapped. They want to help rescue the justices, but are under specific instructions not to intervene, no matter how many times we tug on our super long straws. Justin I, Ragnar Fadewind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M, and Trele the Crayfay, rogues who replaced their cunning action with a pruning action and can perfectly trim a bush to conceal their shape. Many have tried to stop these hedge lords, but all end up bushwhacked. Jared E, Austin Bonesaw MR, Damular, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Gage M, the monks of Dice Christ. They live in an abbey in the middle of the woods and play D&D all day while drinking homemade wine. They're not celibate either. Literally, there are zero drawbacks. These people have better lives than us, and we simply must accept it. Such is Dice Christ's way. Philbert the Fabulous, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Trask the Traveler, and Sir Carl, loyal subjects of the Dungeon Mummy, aka the Dungeon Queen. Currently, she's letting them play in an anime-based campaign where every character has blue hair, a giant sword, and a personalized Gundam. Truly, her benevolence knows no bounds. Jory S., Dana G., Callum L., and Jack L., mad scientists who created a shark with butt muscles capable of farting. Unfortunately, adding these glutes also allowed the shark to slither on land like a snake. This is how the world ends, not with a bang, but with a super hilarious farting shark. Flawless Whale, Sam L., Nicholas C., and Samuel B., were sharks who don't fart, not because they anatomically can't, just because they eat that clean. Mike H., Udishmaluk, the baby bronze dragon, Matthew E., Colton B., and Adam G., dragonborn dermatologists who were absolutely seething at Cass M.'s questions. Also, as dragonborn dermatologists, they are quite literally dragonborn potion makers and are struggling to believe that a dragonborn potion maker would be so gruesome. Megan S., Nabadger, Panama James, and Cummins the Bard, hedge maze scapers who knew exactly what Emily was talking about and weren't confused at all. Good for them. Captain Sigil, Grace G., Drew Nasty, CeCe Lulu, and Barnzenator, reverse rogues who use their bonus action to get everyone's attention and get flaunt attack, which is where they add extra damage based on how loud and flashy they can be. Insufferable. Michelle O., Timmy R., Jonathan W., the crack-wearing warrior, Lucas B., and Aaron S., a pantheon of goat deities that hold the secrets of goat life and death. Only they can say what truly happens to a goat when they die, and they've hidden themselves in a pocket dimension after a brutal war with the sheep gods. It's Kevin, Run Down Johnny's Pubis Mound, New York, Stephen C., and KJ, hedgecrafters who make topiaries that are the perfect size and shape for rogues to hide behind. Michael M., Mike K., Joy T., Nick W., and Taylor A., the polymorph paralegals. These students of law are working to set a new precedent for what a polymorphed individual can get away with. Esme M., Kelsey C., Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, and Eric McD., makers of the Cloaca of Displacement. It acts like the Cloak of Displacement, but can only be equipped by were-sharks and were-birds. Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Thrath, Burly T, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, and Cody B, a crew of goblins that specifically has advantage on perception checks for farts. Turns out a lot of stealthing adventurers get caught that way. Liam D, the Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, and Dave H, Congress Possums, who are currently drafting a bill to get polymorphed goats out of their human contracts. Here's hoping the Crick government passes it. Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, and Dustin S, anthropomorphic sharks who escaped SeaWorld by subduing their keepers with silent but deadly shark farts. Connor F., the Time Walker, Two Left Eyes, and DPC is Awesome, dragonborns who collect dragon scales. They're covered in horrific sores, but their collections are growing. Aston S., Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Porkchop, Chanel M., Valet Sea Raptor, Hedge Gnomes. These tiny tricksters will steal your lawn care equipment and then disappear into any nearby topiaries. Teehee! Minette F., Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., and David M., mall ninjas who carry replica Nine Lives cleavers with no magical powers. Somehow they've still managed to behead each other. Elias Hawthorne, Alex H., The Eldest Barry, Evan V., Ryan S., and The Bone Duster, The Goat Goats. These goats are the greatest of all time. These absolute legends can hop on rocks and crush tin cans like it's nobody's business. Robit CRSP, Idrisil, Brentley C., Micah B., Ploops, and Carly Ann, were-sharks who bite people to spread their lycanthropy and make some new friends. Unfortunately, most of their new friends end up dying of grievous shark wounds. Lori P., Seth AJ, Spam Gaming the Not So Skilled Gamer, Connor Savage, and Christopher J. Pebblepot, literal hedge knights. No, they aren't wandering knights without a kingdom, but rather brave knights who protect a single line of bushes. Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Thrill of the Fright, an adventuring party who were polymorphed into possums. Unfortunately for them, everyone knows that possums are highly litigious, so their contracts all stayed intact. Sullivan H., Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T., Alex C., The Element God, and Lindsay W., Goats in the game Nicholas P. Must Now DM. They're all playing Irakakra Rogues, and if that's not bad enough, they also ate Nicholas's duvet. Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C., Anthony S., and Jake. Were sharks who should be good at sneaking around since they never fart, but actually Valen keeps burping and Jake continually knocks stuff over with their tail. CCA, Matthew J, TRP, Michael S the Bone Duster, and Noah, Ryan F's other children who weren't playing in Ryan's game but nonetheless are going to be ruthlessly shit-talked by Bailiff Jake. Sorry, that's the ruling. Estelle, Baroness, Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, Conflicted DM, Justin LB, and Dandy, Dragonborn, who recently found that their scales are worth good money but decided to use their intimate understanding of their own scales to forge fake ones. Smarter, more sustainable, not gross. Jennifer R., Clifton A., Richard G., M. Barber, and Marcos P., dermatologists who are suddenly getting a ton of appointments booked by Cass M's player. They're surprised that their new patient is booking at peak traffic times as well, but hey, money is money. Pup Kalash, Gabriel M, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, and Pago's self-proclaimed Fae Prince, hedge maze designers who have built a hedge maze that is impossible to solve no matter how long your straw is. What? Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Scrumpy Bogpipe, Holly and Anthony A, court stenographers who also act as deacons when the court shifts gears to church. It's inconvenient to lug a typewriter and a robe to work every day, but at least there's free lunch. Abigail, Egg Infinitum, Sloth King 777, Chungle Down Cal, and Commodore Galaxy, the Knowles from Andrew's game, who will freely admit they were not keeping an eye on anything. Wow, we should have called witnesses. Edison N, Russell H, Neos and Laura R, lawyers who were arguing the polymorphed goat case until the goat started braying and bucking to the point where the case had to be called off because it just seemed like everyone was already in hell. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners, all of our Patreon subscribers, and of course, all of our benevolent Council of Elders. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod, to listen to the Hearthside chats that we did as bonus content this week. Until then, we'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.